Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille! Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30, and buddy, it's a horny edition.
Buddy, horny. We are
horny.
Horny. Breaker 1-9, I got a boner coming down the highway. We're splashing through some puddles because we are so wet right now. We are horny today. We are so horny.
We got 5 rounds in the magazine. Round
you guys okay?
One. Yeah, Katie OnlyFans. She has shocked the world by opening up an OnlyFans.
Yes, I
and
did.
And I'm surprised that she is even able to join us today because she has become obsessed
with
it.
I am hooked on it, buddy.
Round number 2, a soap opera star is making some shocking claims about Ivanka Trump's grave and the things that might be inside that old coffin of hers.
Some are saying it's a grave conspiracy theory.
Is it Ivanka Trump? Or Ivana Trump.
Oh, God.
Ivana is the one that died. Ivanka Trump is the daughter.
Yeah,
very
Ivanka's
much still alive.
Very much still alive.
Jesus, Lord.
Above. No, it's fine. Yeah. We'll move on. It's Ivana Trump. Round number 3, Bama's Rush from the SEC. Is it tougher than the U.S. Marines to get into
to
one
get
of those
sororities? I would say it's tougher than becoming a SEAL, pal.
No doubt about it. Round number 4, former White House physician Ronnie Jackson, who's a congressman, pledges to never eat a plate of whole dog penis ever again.
Well, a whole plate of dog penis. It could have been chopped up. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Well, I don't know if there's a way for us to ever know that. And finally, round number 5, Marines land on a Greek island and launch a massive assault on the food, booze, and tattoo supplies. It's old, but Kate wants to talk about eggs, so we're going to
it's an old story, but I want to talk about eggs.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all 4 refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Let's go ahead and start with round number 1, Kate. There's a should we give the background of how this all came
about?
Yeah,
I think that'd be helpful.
Yes, yes. Okay. And it's only a matter of time, I think, until the company shuts us down on it.
Yeah, I think that might be coming.
The girls have gone wild here at Barstool Sports. Yeah. They truly have. So, OnlyFans.
Yes.
It's been a thing for a while, and Alex Bennett was looking for ways to, she has recently been on Zero Block 30 talking about the upcoming Rough and Rowdy by RNR.com, where she is one of the main events. It's next weekend.
She is the main event.
She's like the title fight. Yeah, she's the main event. She's been working her ass off. But she was looking for ways to drum up. She's trying to get 70,000 people to buy the fight. And so she joined OnlyFans. Smart move. Very smart move. So she does a podcast called Mean Girls with another woman here, Jordan Woodruff. And Jordan was like, well, I'm going to join OnlyFans too. She joins OnlyFans. The money comes pouring in.
Yeah.
When I tell you, like Scrooge McDuck rolling around in the
last update that Jordan
hot, lovely,
said
friendly,
that she
Scrooge
felt
McDuck.
Comfortable giving, because she was like, I'm no longer comfortable giving the amount of money that I'm getting. The last number that she gave out was 24 grand in like 2 days.
Yeah. Insane. When I heard
insane
that,
money.
I said,
which is straight to your checking account, right?
Yeah, in like a week. It takes like a week, but yeah. So they take OnlyFans take like 20% off.
They take their cut, sure.
And then they do the typical 1099 employee rate of 15%, which you're probably going to have to do more than that after the end. So you have to put some aside of your taxes.
Yeah.
But even if you walk away with 50%.
Sure.
Like 12 grand.
For doing what?
And we're not even talking about throwing tits out.
Let me tell you. So I hear how much they're making.
Good money.
And then I see Kelly Keeg sign up.
I will flop it out for 24
I see Kelly Keeg sign up, and I'm like, how's it going? She's like, it's going pretty good. And I was like, you know what? I'm about to dump him out. I'm going to hold me back. You guys had to hold me back because I was trying to dump
him
out.
Don't do it, Kelly.
I was like, no, I'm doing it right now. I'm dumping him out. So I'm signed up, and it turns out my email, it was like, your email has already been placed an OnlyFans. Turns out I've had an OnlyFans since 2020. Yeah. I forgot. The height of the quarantine.
As one does.
We all spiraled. Mm. We all had a little bit of white wine, too much alone one night, and we all started an OnlyFans in 2020, didn't we not?
I was sitting next to you when you discovered that you had one, and yes. I thought it was because
my jaw dropped.
I thought it was because you went through a phase where you were posting secret dildos, like in
stories. Well, I was around my apartment. I was yeah. just as Easter eggs. Right. But anyway... that's a whole other story, by the way, how I got that one dildo.
True.
I'll tell you, it's someone on Fox News sent it to me. That's a true story.
Like a baby arm.
Like a baby arm, that thing. Right. That's a real story. But anyways, that's another time. where were we? OnlyFans.
Right.
Turns out I had made one in 2020 as a joke, and then I kind of forgot about it.
Sure.
Okay, so it was marinating there.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell them what the joke was?
It was to make fun of a fellow coworker, Brandon Walker, who has
tits.
No, and there's nothing wrong with being a guy with tits. It just says he has He has a honking set.
It kind of is.
You can keep it consistent. I think our producer Nick would agree. We make fun of his tits a lot.
But it was for, we had a show called Morning Sunshine. I was going to use clips of that OnlyFans for Morning Sunshine, but I didn't get any subscribers. Nobody wanted to see his boobs, his moobs, his whatever. Mm-hmm. So I... re-up the new account. It's at Katie Money Grabs, just in case anybody's interested.
Not burying the lead there.
I had to fill out a W-2. Like, you really have to do all this. I had to fill out paperwork. I had to send. Chaps was making fun of me because I was sending pictures of my license and blah, blah, blah.
Like, well, because there was also this portion where you have to do, like, a facial verification. And Kate's, like, trying to get her face, like, right in the middle of the little Easter egg-sized thing. She's like, damn it, the light's not on. I got to go in here. So
The problem is that I probably shouldn't even say it out loud is that I'm doing this at my real job is the problem.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an issue. Anyways, neither here or there. Next thing you know, it's 2 days later. By the way, you set your own price.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the other ladies are a bit higher. I said, I know who I am. I'm going a little lower. Okay, let's not pretend. $15 a month.
I did that when I started Cameo. I was like, let's see the price. I'm going to undercut the competition.
Yeah, you got to undercut. So that's my thing.
Like Marty Mush at $35. Throw me in at 28, pal.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I'm going $15 a month. You get all the Kate content your heart desires. Now, I only have 3 posts so far, but I have over 160 subscribers already.
Pretty good, okay? Kate. Pretty good.
And I think it is. People kind of hope. And maybe with me, it's just morbid curiosity, but they want to see a little puss. I'll just say it. I think they think maybe there's a chance. You know?
I thought you'd be like maybe a quick nip slip or something.
No.
Because that's happened on your Instagram
already. You're
not paying
$15 a month for a nipple.
So let me jump in real quick and ask this question.
Sure.
Fucking little puss.
Say it.
Does Mr. Mannion know about this?
Dad, I am so sorry if you're listening. I continue to disappoint.
Oh, he absolutely is.
If you guys thought the abortion was bad, you are going to hate my OnlyFans.
I can't wait for Thanksgiving this year at the Mannion house.
That was bad. Anyway. Wow, this is going off for us. Where was I? I have like 160 subscribers. My first post was already Brandon Walker sucking on a lollipop.
Should have been a chili dog.
But you make the caption kind of sexy. It's like, what's up, suckers? If you want to suck on blah, blah, blah. But so if you're just going to look at my OnlyFans and you haven't subscribed yet, you just see the sexy title, but you don't see the picture.
Right.
It's a little bit of catfish.
Don't give out too much of the behind the scenes. Right. You don't want to show them how the hot dogs are made too much because you want to keep these subscriptions rolling in.
Right. Well, so if you do subscribe to at Katie Money Grabs, I also have an audio queef that you can listen to.
That's a great post.
Sup, you sad little losers. As a reward for subscribing to my page, I'm going to let you hear me queef. All right, here it goes.
It's an audio queef and a little bit of pussy under the robe.
True.
Take
with that what you will. You might think maybe that's just her cat under a robe, but maybe it's a little bit of pussy. You don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like a subscribe.
I applaud all of you. I'm a big proponent
of
there's no amount of money that isn't good. And by that I mean like people are like, oh, it's only like an extra like $200 a month. Well, that's, you know, that's a low number. That's $200 you didn't have before. Like I traded in when I was so generously provided with my TaylorMade golf clubs. Shout out to TaylorMade. I didn't have anything to do with my old clubs, so I found a site and I traded them in. Made like $350. You know, is that a large amount of money? No, but that's $350 I didn't have before.
So, I get addicted to getting those little side monies. Like,
yes.
If I sell something on like Facebook Marketplace, I'm like, oh, what do we need a Christmas tree for? I'll sell this thing.
Right.
Speaking
and
of
like,
golf,
okay, cool.
It's not like I'm playing golf for Saudi Arabia.
True.
Yeah. I'm just on the internet showing some labia.
Yeah. Right. That was pretty good.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I'm picking it up. Yep.
There's worse ways to be making money.
Sure,
okay,
it's true.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm
there's
not...
no. I mean, if I. Honest to God, if I had that ability, and people, maybe somebody would pay, if you would pay to see my dick, email cons@barstoolsports.com.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And
yes.
Let them know.
That you
I will start
it.
One, too. I mean, I think I would actually put it out there. Like,
sure.
If I got enough money and enough subscribers, I'd put it out
dude,
there for sure.
What's the number?
Yeah. My number, if I had...
For full dick and balls.
If I had a guaranteed recurring payments only, okay. I wouldn't have an option for a one-time thing.
Okay.
You're going to have to sign up for at least a year.
Okay.
Probably at $20 a month. I think I would post a full-out dick pic at recurring $6,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. That's smart. And I see people ripping on women for making these and like ripping on people. Sorry, we're smart.
Right.
Sorry, we have.
Who really cares about a dick?
And you're willingly paying it, so whatever.
Right.
Anyways, yeah. I have already been getting, and this is the thing, like mine's is just jokes, like really.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you never
you
get
never
Katie
know.
Money Grimes.
Well,
you never know.
You never know.
I might get drunk when I post a little bit
know.
Of flapperone dogs.
For those who don't realize, like it was initially started to be a content, and it like morphed into
for like magicians and shit.
Oh,
right.
They fell into. Hundreds of billions of dollars, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like over the course of what this website will be worth, I can't imagine. Because this is one of the things that they do so great is if you take a screenshot, they know your IP address and all that stuff, and they legit come after you if you post their content.
Right.
It's worth $1 billion, by the way. It's worth about $1 billion.
Oh, no way. That has to be an old number. It has to be way more.
This was
more
as of
that.
Last year. Oh, I'm sure it's much more. But my page is like pretty much just a joke. There's actually nothing sexy on it yet,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But my DMs are horny.
Yeah, so Kate put
people
some in here.
Horny.
We wanted to give Cons the opportunity.
I didn't screenshot them.
Nope.
We want to give Cons the opportunity.
Cons, could you read this first one for me?
No.
Could you?
No.
Just the one from T.
Come on,
God.
No,
nope.
Be a good sport.
No. Nope.
It's not that bad.
No, thank you.
Okay, I'll
so
do it.
So part of my shtick is, I here is the thing I'll do if you subscribe. I talk down to the guys,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you dumb little cuck, stinky, poopy butt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it yet. I'm working on it.
No, it's a work in progress.
Dumb faces.
Yeah.
But I'm degrading people. I'm mm-hmm. talking down to people. And I sent a welcome message degrading all the losers who follow me. Okay? So this is one of the messages I got in response.
What if we want to be involved with DMs with you, but not talk down to? Just a big fan. And I know you're hilarious with your self-deprecation, but you're a fucking bad bitch. Ha 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 ha. Would love to occasionally have a conversation jerking off and talking to you without being degraded like I mentioned. Crying face emoji. I'm a rambler, but you really are a badass.
He had me in the first half. He had me in the first half, but then
he
I
snuck in the
turn,
old jerk it off.
Turn.
Yeah.
I'm getting dick pics. But it's in OnlyFans. Like if this was Instagram or Twitter, I would put you on blast. I'd be like, not the place for it. OnlyFans. Buddy, I don't care.
I feel like
you
it's the Wild West.
Paying
yeah.
$15 a month, you could send me your dick.
You
doesn't matter
be
to me.
You cannot be a chooser when it comes to your DMs on OnlyFans.
And I have guys saying, I got a DM that said, please degrade me. So I said, shut up, you little piece of doo-doo, you stupid dumb-dumb face McDorkwad. So I'm really giving it to them. They're never
really
that guy got
though,
a boner.
Not, you know, they're thinking you're going to zig and you zag. Like, they're not expecting that when they ask you to degrade them.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm absolutely certain there's got to be a very dark side to OnlyFans that I got my little blinders on right now because I'm making money, so I don't want to know. But
Katie Mickelson,
this did make me think. If you're in the military, I know, and I've already seen posts and blah, blah blah. Like there's a lot of military folk on OnlyFans.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, 110%.
Oh wow.
And I don't really think there's shit they could do about it.
Well, yes, there is.
Oh.
So I looked into this. Worth noting, it could hurt your security clearance if you're in the government or military. One, people all over the world you're interacting with people from all over the world. They have the ability, if you're like webcamming and stuff, to look into your home and being able to interact with you. Your account could be hacked. Like, just because you can get in trouble for it doesn't mean people won't record your stuff on their phone for blackmail or take screenshots or whatever so you could be blackmailed.
Yeah, but if you're putting it out on OnlyFans, can right. you really be blackmailed? Like, if you're like, people can see my tits.
Well, I think what they can do is blackmail and bring it and say they're going to bring it to your command and get you in trouble with the military.
And also, there is, like, this implicit, like, contract and understanding that it's just for that page. Like, it doesn't go beyond that. So anyone who takes it beyond that, like, that's past my consent. Like,
right. depending on who does it, they have deep pockets, you could sue them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And generally, you have to be self-reporting on your side hustles and foreign contracts and all that other stuff among the rules of security clearances. Also, it's generally prohibited. I'm going to just sum this up that, like, all secondary jobs that anyone in the military has must be cleared by supervisors. And to be approved, it has to meet three criteria. They can't capitalize off their military service. And a lot of the military only fans like, check me out. I'm just wearing a web belt.
Yeah.
Which, who can blame them? Web belt's a great belt.
Yeah, there's
so it can't interfere with your military duties, and they can't discredit the service. So I think if you had one that was super, like, anonymous style, it was just like the, like,
like, we no all face dabble, girl,
like,
on
no
porn.
Face girl.
Right.
And it didn't, you never mentioned the military, and nobody had any idea you were in the military. Fine, but a lot of people use their military service to reel in the looks.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I think that was one of the reasons why, besides her obvious skill set, that Heather Brooke was such a cult figure in the Marines, because the dude that she was with had an Eagle Globe and Anchor tag.
EGA on it. Yeah, absolutely.
And people were like, oh, shit, that's Camp Pendleton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you never know. Technically, like, you can't DoorDash or Uber either unless your CO approves it. And it doesn't impact your regular duties, but we know a ton of people who do that shit too under the radar.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had an NCO who was he bounced and he bartended on the weekends.
Yeah.
And I was like, go ahead, dude.
Go ahead.
You know,
do it.
As long as you don't get in trouble or impact and you're at work on time, I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I'm sure there's a ton of people doing it, and nobody knows because it doesn't matter and it's not hurting anything. But who knows? I can see it being a kind of tricky thing. Unless we forget, remember the Navy SEAL we talked about a few years ago? He was married to the porn star Jules Jade. He was like a 20-something year Navy SEAL. According to the Reddit summary, because I kind of forgot the details, they had some real estate investments go south. They needed some money. So he was like, I'll do the porn with you and we'll both make cash. Mm-hmm. So he did 29 films with her under the name Jay Voom. Jay Voom. Anyways, the Navy investigated. I tried to find out how that turned out. I don't think he got in trouble for it.
I mean, how do you pursue that? And what are the charges, and what do you end up with the punishment?
I don't know.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, oh, you got to go be confined for 60 days because you were having sex with your wife?
If you really want to be punished, follow Katie Money Grabs on OnlyFans. You little cook.
Absolutely right.
Sorry, Mr. Mannion.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. All right, let's move on to round number two before we get into anything that Kate really regrets.
Yep.
Too late. We were surprised this morning, or last night, I guess, is when the first tweet came out, but old Nancy Lee Grant, who is a soap opera star, she might have a little bit of inside scoop on some national security secrets.
Yeah, this tweet is going viral probably because it's got to be true.
Right?
If
an elderly soap opera star says it, then it's got to be true. Dear at FBI, so she tags the FBI in this tweet, I know you don't need advice from a soap opera star, but having been in 10 or 10,000 implausible storylines in my 37 years, may I recommend digging up Ivana? My God. Clearly, it didn't take 10 pallbearers to carry a liposuctioned 73-year-old who methinks was in her weight in classified docs. So what she is saying is, because if you look at the photos
of
the funeral...
That's an all-time methinks.
Methinks! Ivana was cremated, and generally that's a small thing. Anyways, she's saying, what...
background information.
Thank you.
Katie Context.
People were confused.
Lest we forget. When someone is reduced to ashes, they don't weigh as much.
You get an urn and you don't do a huge gold casket.
Sure.
And so she's saying, there's no Ivana in that casket.
What the fuck is in that thing?
It's the documents he's hiding on his own golf course.
We want to see Ivana spread blue butt cheeks fall out of that coffin.
Exactly. Coffin Drop. What is that show? Yeah. Anyway, inside joke. The replies were just as insane. Monty Boa replied, Ivana's body was cremated, conveniently making a redo of the rushed coroner's exam possible, and then her ashes, about the size of a honeydew melon... We're buried.
That's kind of like when you're pregnant in those apps now, and they're like, yeah, your baby is now the size of an almond.
Your cremated remains. Who does that in a full-size casket? Who's doing that?
Have you seen this? If people are talking about this, who does this? A honey-sized melon.
I know. Then somebody pointed out, they posted a photo of her casket leaving the church, and it's going. They're going down the stairs, all 10 pallbearers. So the casket is at a pretty steep angle.
Yeah, she would need to be tied in.
Merlin, too, said she was cremated. So what's in the casket? And then other people pointed out, disrespectful way to carry a casket, if I'm honest. I thought you were supposed to keep them level. Well, I don't know how you go downstairs then.
I also don't know how much dead people complain.
Right. Yeah. Leslie McCullough said, if she was cremated, why do they have that large coffin-sized plot on the golf course? I never heard of such a thing.
And time out. She was buried at his golf course?
Yeah, and there was information that came out because it can be now classified as a cemetery, so then they don't have to pay taxes.
Yes. I mean, like, all right, say and what you will, that's kind of smart.
And she's by herself.
It's fucked up, but it's brilliant.
Herself.
That's like, brilliant.
Completely.
Just a lone grave on the golf
and
course.
And by the way, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago. I went over to Brooklyn to do the Team House podcast. Which is great. That area over by the Brooklyn Bridge, there's so many. That's some prime real estate. You got to dig those people up.
Oh, the graves, the cemeteries. Oh, there's some amazing.
You're saying you're wasted real estate.
All over the joint. And they're packed in there. Just dig them up and start afresh.
Okay. Yeah. Houses on top.
They can't have put. When's the last time you've seen somebody put in there? 100 years ago?
My relatives are probably there.
Yeah. Dig them up. So, yeah. Right. Do you care?
I don't know.
Nice.
Fuck it.
Well, more people said, someone pointed out a giant gold coffin that 10 men struggled to keep upright, and it only had ashes in it. So they're saying it's heavy, too. What's in there? And then someone said, maybe because I've been watching since I was 5 years old, but I'm with you 100%. That and or the golf tournament was the perfect place to exchange the secrets. Mm-hmm. So remember, he had the golf tournament on his course around the same time. She was buried there, and they're saying whoever was there at the golf, Saudi Arabia, they're exchanging documents from Ivana's grave. Tinfoil. Anyways, oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, breaking news. The FBI has taken longtime soap opera star Lancey Nee Grand seriously. They have just dug up Ivana's grave. Are we going to get roasted for this?
No, it's fine.
They are opening the casket as we speak. Oh, my God. What's in there? Oh, my God. What is that?
What's in there?
It's 3.6 rifles.
The lost 3.6 rifles from 3.6 infantry?
Jimmy Hoffa?
Finally! No.
The dogs that were let out by whom?
Who?
All the dogs in there. JFK's brain?
Finally. Didn't even know we held on to that.
We did.
Great.
Amelia Earhart's plane.
Oh, that makes sense.
Blackbeard's treasure. And Khan's integrity. Unbelievable.
Khan's integrity was in there. Does he get it back?
No, he doesn't.
What about my dignity? Is it in there?
No. Anyways, I love the fact that you're a soap opera star and your brain automatically goes to the craziest place. Like, that's where it's going to be.
Yes.
Because
I feel like she does get a pass for the insanity of that. Maybe not the liposuction.
You
maybe
live
not
in that
the
world
nastiness of it. It was totally uncalled for, but you're right. You live in that world long enough,
your brain works differently. Even though you know full well everything you're doing is made up and for a television show, your brain goes places that I think the average brain doesn't go.
Right. In her world, Ivana's not even dead. She is swept away with another man somewhere as the world turns.
She's somewhere in Barbados with a wig and a job as a hotel maid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what's your favorite soap opera moment?
So my favorite soap opera growing up was called Passions.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, of all the soap operas, it was the, like, most out there one, which says a lot, because this one involved magic. There were little people who were, like, demons and angels and whatever, and there were witches, and there was all sorts of crazy stuff. So, like, the storyline would already be crazy, and then you'd be like, there's nowhere the storyline can go from here, and that's when they'd be like, oh, no, but the magic has, like, whatever. And the thing with soap operas, too, is, like, 1 hour of their day would be like 47 episodes. Like the storyline was so fucking slow that I remember in the summer times, like when I was off of school, I would watch Passions every single day. And by the end of summer, I'd be like, I only made it through Tuesday in a day in the life of Passions. My God. But yeah, I was big in it. What about you?
I loved watching soap operas because it was only whenever I was sick when I was sick and I got to stay home. And there was one, it was called
Young.
There
was a lot of sex innuendo
there
in those.
Was. Mm-hmm. And my favorite one, and it really didn't have anything to do with the storyline. It was just the opening credits. Mm-hmm. It was Young and the Restless. and they would do these little quick cut scenes, and it would be black and white. And there was that one point where they like paused for like 2 seconds, and it was on, I would say it's on like the most perfect tit of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she's in her lingerie. It's a light, nice little cup. And I was like, oh, yeah, buddy, sign me up. And I also love, there was a storyline from The Guiding Light with the main character named Rita.
Mm-hmm.
Rita died 3 separate times.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, okay. Yeah, you
she was in a love triangle with a lady named Brooke. And you also had another fella that was involved, and they were constantly going at it. Well, Rita got super upset, got drunk, maybe on some pills one night, mm-hmm. was driving on this bridge going into Key West. A lot of
crazy car crashes.
Boom, she flies up, not realizing that the bridge is out on Key West. She goes in, deadsies, mm-hmm. right?
So you think.
Until 2 seasons later, mm-hmm. guess who comes walking into the wood cabin? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be Rita?
Mm-hmm.
And she sees her ex-husband, now married to the other lady.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
I mean, that reminds me, so two of my favorite soaps, not daytime soaps, nighttime soaps.
Big, you're still a big nighttime soap guy.
Oh, I'm still a big nighttime soap guy. Number one, 90210. There were two storylines that were awesome from 90210. One, when we thought Dylan's dad was blown up in the car, and then a couple seasons later, Dylan's dad shows back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then also very sad when Brandon left the show, and he's driving away, and REM Night Swimming is playing. Yeah. Tearjerker. And then, of course, lest we forget, The OC, which was...
Wait, you missed when Brian Austin Green showed his dick in Playgirl.
I don't know that that was part of any of the storyline.
Still horny, though.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. The OC, which was on when we were in college. And
that
was...
whole dorm would shut down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's even at West Point.
Yeah.
And all you could hear from all the rooms was the OC theme song playing. And it
we
was
were
like,
all watching it at the same time. Yeah. Like, I had a group of buddies. We all watched it every Thursday together. It was amazing.
Misha Barton.
She got a little big for her britches. She thought she was going to be a big star, and she left in season three. And then
I'm glad you continued that sense. They were like, she got a little big. Okay,
right.
No, she liposuction more than Ivana did. Yeah. So.
But season one of The OC is some of the best television ever.
Yes.
And
yes.
the finale, when Jeff Buckley's version of Hallelujah is playing, Kirsten is on the bed, and she's sobbing because both of her sons have left. They've run away, and it just...
I just got goosebumps again.
Mm-hmm. I bought those DVDs from the PX in Okinawa.
I believe that.
And I was like, I can't wait. We didn't have Netflix at the time, so we just bought it up and powered through them bad boys.
Can I give you two fun bar facts?
Sure.
Yes,
if you're out at the bar this weekend and you want to impress a lady or a gentleman, drop these on them.
Okay.
And you guys will be horny too.
Yeah, you won't need OnlyFans.
They're called soap operas because way, 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 way back when they first started, like before, like around World War II time, they were just over the radio.
Sure.
And all the advertisers were soap companies because it was a different time, and that's what women were up to. We're cleaning and soaping around.
Oh, that's
soap
very
operas.
Sexist, but I get it considering the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And two, longest running soap opera. Do you know what it was and for how long?
I
would have said General Hospital.
So would I have.
I would have said that. I would have said As the World Turns.
Yeah, okay. That's another big one. It was Guiding Light. It was on for 57 years. One long running storyline.
What a great gig, though, if you can get it. If you get a pretty long arc on a soap.
The longest running, I forget his name. There was a guy who did over 10,000 episodes of. So we'll get there on ZBT eventually.
If we had to, real quick.
Year 57 of ZBT. Still horny.
What if I put it to you, Kate, right now? 2022, we need a new name for soap operas. What are we calling them? Blank operas.
Ooh. Horny operas. I'm going to say that word 20,000
times. Let's fuck operas.
Yeah, let's fuck operas.
All right, let's move on to round number two. We're going to get into a little bit of the Bama Rush. This story is really taken over on TikTok and social media in general because I think sorority rushes, I guess, have always been wild.
Yes.
But now that everything's documented so extreme, like, you just get way more content about it.
The sororities, too, now have certain hours of each day allotted specifically to make social media content to pump out. Yes, that's like a real thing. It's like social media hours where you learn a TikTok dance, you whatever, you do a skit, you whatever. Huh. And it's specifically to up the profile of your sorority on your campus and across the nation. It's like a real thing.
Just on the record, though, none of us were in a sorority or fraternity because we were above that. We weren't losers.
I was my mom said, you got to be a GDI, goddamn independent.
I wanted to when I went to UTSA, and my wife told me I was too old.
Actually,
what if I want to go make some pals?
I had one of my friends from the military. He's a journalist now, but he went to an Ivy League school. I want to say it was Yale. And he joined a fraternity there after he got out of the military as like an older guy. And he said he fucking loved it. He said it was awesome.
I think that would probably be cool to do it. Because
you're like
the
world hardened old timer who's like the center of the cigar, you know, whatever.
Found a natty light.
Yeah.
I was in a fraternity for the record.
Oh, you were?
Oh, that's too bad.
What was it?
It was AEPI. It was a nationally Jewish fraternity. And we were about 95% Italian.
Nice. Nice.
Love it. Jewish,
though. How you doing? What?
You're not Jewish.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's
all
right.
Was there keggers?
Yeah, there was everything.
Yeah.
We didn't know. We just joined it. I mean, those were the people we gravitated towards. Everyone was a Goomba, and I was like, all right, these are my people.
You did it for 4 years?
Yeah. My sophomore year, I joined. As a freshman, you only had one semester you could pledge, so I didn't do it freshman year, and then sophomore year, fall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think, too, like, it's the same thing with why I think the military has an allure to it. Why people talk about Paris Island so much afterwards, like, there is a mystery to it. Like, what really happens there? Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of hazing in both that people are kind of attracted to. And
right.
I think that's why, like, military posts blow up so much online and why these sorority ones. But specifically, the University of Alabama, I even see sororities from other colleges across the campus being like, time for us to step aside and let Alabama Rush take the center stage. It is the biggest rush in the entire country, and it kicked off this past week. So, again, if you're on TikTok or any social media, I'm sure you'll see it. But they bring new gals into what is known as the machine. And the machine at Alabama is pretty much a secret society with a degree of influence over the campus and Alabama state politics. Like,
okay.
Incredibly powerful.
I like that aspect.
Sororities and fraternities.
I do like that.
You
aspect.
Do?
Yes, I do like that aspect of it, of being a part of something where you can wield some influence and you're taken care of and you kind of look out for one another. I do like that aspect.
That's what that whole organization is, Skull and Bones at Yale.
Yes, like exactly.
Like presidents and shit all coming
that.
Out of that.
Well,
yeah.
So
who's
the coach there at Bama?
Nick Saban.
There's this famous press conference where Nick Saban's like, he's talking about, you know, we're having one of our winningest seasons right now, and yet the journalist, somebody asked, like, well, why are the stands so empty? And he goes, well, you know what I want to say, but I can't say because of the machine. And it was the sororities and fraternities controlling, like, who was going to the games, and there was other stuff going on, blah, 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 so they didn't, but he couldn't even say it. Nick Saban himself was, like, too afraid to say it. Caleb from Barstool, you should look it up on YouTube, does this amazing video digging into the machine and asking every student on campus, whether you're a sorority or not, or a fraternity or not, like, they know what this is. And I was actually DMing with the person who runs the Barstool Bama account, and he was like, oh, yeah, I would give you the person who runs the Chicks account, but she said she doesn't want to talk to you because she is part of the machine.
Wow.
And she could get in big trouble and get kicked out of all her stuff.
I kind of like that.
I like that. So, yeah. I do like that.
No, I have an OPSEC for your...
It's yes. Basically, it's honestly, that's why I want to talk about. There's so many similarities. OPSEC is a huge one.
Uh-huh.
Traditions.
Yes.
And customs and courtesies is another huge one. Every day, like, they have really structured weeks. They have to move into campus early. Then they have open houses, philanthropy days, sisterhood days, preference days, bid days. So Alabama has 19 active sororities that participate. Almost 3,000 people pledge each year.
Wow.
For only 19 sororities. So it's possible to go through the whole process, and you can either drop out. You decide that's not for me and not pledge. I think like 4-5% do that. But then only a very small amount. You pick like your top. It's almost like picking a duty station. You pick your top three, and usually you get one of them. These women pick like their top five or something like that. And then at the end of the week, they finally have their one. And some women find out, like, nope.
Because it has
nobody
to be mutual selection.
Has to be mutual selection. You have to want them, and they have to want you. And they find out that, nope, you didn't get it. So those always go viral.
Ruthless.
And all these girls are like, why didn't you get picked? So I know for next year that I don't make the mistakes you did. Like, people,
I don't want your life.
But they say these sororities, when they're looking into these women who want to be in that sorority, they look into, obviously, your family background is huge. They want to know. So if you have like politician or powerful family members, your odds are much higher. They look at the real estate your family owns because they want to know how much money you have, which means you have connections, which means that the sorority can then network
better.
And you
have to pay a good bit of money
and
to go into
that's
them
another
too.
Part of it. So first, you have to pay $350 just to join a sorority. Like it's a registration fee that's non-refundable. So even if you drop, you're paying that $350. Then new member fees per semester are over $4,000 for a semester. Then living in-house is another additional about $7,000 to $9,000. And it just then joining the Pan-Hellenic Sorority Council, that's another almost $3,000. Living, yeah, it just, it escalates and escalates. So it's thousands of dollars. It's a ton of your time. It's a ton of...
We call those dues.
Dues, yeah. Yes.
So I guess that's where it differs from the military. You can join the military for free, and we're not that selective.
No, we still got dues. Like, you got to pay for your own uniforms.
Oh, that's true.
Whenever you come in.
And your haircuts.
And that is such bullshit.
You got to pay for your
like,
haircuts.
Like, that you have to pay for all your uniforms.
That's true.
They should give you it. Because you, I mean, I remember when you're in boot camp, your pay is so much reduced than what your normal pay is.
Yep.
And then they take all your uniforms out. So they're like, oh, your paycheck for boot camp is like $3,800. Yeah. But you owe us $1,500 for all your uniforms. So then you're like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Like, they should give you it. It should be issued to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody else should be footing the bill for that for
sure. Right, yeah.
But there's just – and so the final thing I wanted to note was, like, it is almost like a boot camp. If you are a girl rushing these sororities, they – some of the videos are like, here's my outfit of the day. I'm wearing a Kendra Scott bangle with a blah, blah, blah. Like, every piece of clothing they wear – is so well thought out. It's like a uniform where every piece has a purpose, and it's that there is to impress. And
yeah,
so
they have
that,
like their same that the Marines do. Like, oh, why do you have seven belt loops? They represent the seven seas.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they have, like that. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. Totally. But then the other thing is they have these back. Well, normally these cute little bags that they bring with them. And this one girl went through what is in her bag. And I just want to, you think that Marines are prepared. I just want to play this clip real quick.
So I'm going to be rushing at the University of Alabama in a couple weeks. So I'm going to show y'all what I have in my rush bag. I'm going to be using my pink Longchamp bag. And I tied a little ribbon with my initials on it to the side so I know it's mom. There's literally so much stuff in this bag. My shoulder's going to break off before the end of the week. The most important thing in this entire bag, this fan. So I put a lot of the little things in this toiletry bag so it can kind of all stay together. So in that bag, I have safety pins, a sewing kit, a first aid little kit, and a compact mirror. I have some Advil, hand sanitizer, wipes, and fashion tape. And then I have this Tide2Go moleskin for blisters, and then these toothpicks.
So she had more stuff. Remember when they make us just pack our bags full of dumb shit to
yes.
go on hikes?
Yes.
It's like,
it's basically just
to
add
that.
Weight. Yeah.
But I think it's pretty crazy. I don't judge either way. I get why people do it. The only thing I'll say, like, especially at Bama.
Oh, yeah. Having that group of belonging when you're there,
yeah.
and almost like a built-in friend group, like that you're
oh,
going
yeah,
to
I
have
get it.
People that have like-minded interests, makes total sense. One other thing that they do, because my wife was in a sorority, and she used to tell me about it, there's a lot of almost mess night types of rules for military,
yeah.
yes.
too. So if you're at a bar, like her group, the sorority she was in, they weren't ever allowed to drink from a beer can or a bottle. It always had to be in a separate cup, and it couldn't be like a cup that was a throwaway cup.
Mm-hmm.
They always had to have like a regular glass to have drinks in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were 21 and you got under 21 and you got caught with a drink, they were very strict on their rules. You got like a huge fine.
Oh,
too.
Oh
like
yeah.
They would fine you if you were drinking.
Oh,
you're
some
underage.
Of the girls don't get in because pictures of them partying when they're underage.
Oh, yeah.
Get, like they're very strict. The other problem.
Well, they found out you sucked somebody's dick. It's true, right? Is that true? Sororities?
No, I mean, the only aspect of it that I joke about.
They are very strict. They're like, we have a mixture with Teak tonight. Like, nobody better
right.
hook up with anybody,
right.
blah, blah, blah. Like,
no, that stuff is true.
Very, very real, what she's
yeah.
saying.
The stuff
yeah.
I bust Alex's chops about, because she was in a sorority as well. I was like, oh, cool, you had to pay for friends. But everything you just said, I agree with. It's a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
It's the traditions. And I feel like they have a lot of traditions, just like the military, where you kind of do it tongue-in-cheek, and you know this is corny, but then part of you also thinks, yeah, but I kind of like this too.
Yeah.
Because it's tradition.
Real quick, yeah. I keep in touch with probably about like 40 to 50 guys on the regular basis.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
and
great.
That's awesome.
I don't think if I didn't join, I would have that type of connection at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're like, it's like every day.
No, that aspect of it I for sure get and support.
And
I think
it's like
it's
you
cool.
have somebody showing you, because you get a big and whatever, you have somebody
yeah.
showing you the ropes. The only problem, like at Bama, allegations of like race discrimination were a huge problem. Like if you look at the makeup of the sororities, it's not very not very diverse. So all sorts of problems with that. But anyway, I just thought that was like really interesting. And each house is about 40,000 square feet down there and can have about 70 women.
Oh yeah. Caleb actually went together to Tuscaloosa and it was the most uncomfortable I've ever felt in my life. Like, because I was at the time 35 and being in like a frat house on Old Row in Alabama. I was like, I don't belong here at all.
Hello, fellow cool teens. Hello, fellow kids.
Now a word from our sponsors at BetterHelp before we get into round number three. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep it the same for your entire life? That's how our brains work. So why treat them that way? We've talked over and over again on this show about the importance of making sure that your mental health is good to go. I've called it like going to the brain dentist. Nobody's ever upset about having to go to the dentist. They are upset about having to go get mental health for some reason, mental health care for some reason. I don't understand the stigma, but we're trying to get rid of it, and you could do that by going to BetterHelp. If you need some help, there's no shame in the mental health game. All three of us, all four of us have done different types of mental health care. I think I've probably broken the record on the amount I've done of the last like year. It's been pretty insane the amount that I've done. But BetterHelp is an online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat therapy session, so you don't have to see anyone, you don't have to go anywhere, because that's a big burden in going to some of these mental health care treatments. I remember before I had BetterHelp, I had to drive 35 minutes to the spot across town and then 35 minutes back in an hour-long appointment. So something that could take me as little as an hour or 50 minutes whenever I'm talking to somebody on BetterHelp ended up being like a 3.5 hour endeavor, and it basically takes up your entire work day. You don't have to do that with BetterHelp. You can find somebody that matches you, and if you don't like the first person that you're assigned to, you can keep going until you find somebody that matches your personality and you like the way that they operate. You could do all that in just under 48 hours when you sign up. That's betterhelp.com/zero, BETTERHELP.com/zero. You're going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/zero. Let's get going with round three. All right, let's move on to round number three. We're going to talk about former White House physician Ronnie Jackson, who's been all over the world, like a lot of military members who reached the rank of admiral have. Let's get going through this story that came to us from Yahoo News. What do we got, Kate?
You know it's reliable, old Yahoo News. A former White House physician, Representative Ronnie Jackson, has tried foods from around the world.
Sorry, real quick. Didn't know he was in politics now.
Yeah.
Me neither. I didn't hear of him until I heard about this dog penis thing. So
yeah, he says some wild shit on Twitter on the reg.
And his culinary adventures have taught the Texas Republican enough to know that his last meal on Earth, most definitely, it won't be dog penis.
Why do you have to clarify that? Like, who on Earth thought, Ronnie, if your last meal, we bet he's a dog dick, that guy.
Yeah,
he was on a podcast, and I guess the podcast host asked him, like, what's the weirdest stuff you ate? And he said, I ate a whole plate of dog penis one time. I'm not doing that again.
That's him, I think, also trying to endear himself to listeners. Like, oh, I'll say this and be kind of funny.
Sure.
Politician. I'll beer bong a thing of dog dicks to get some new ears. Anyway, no, I wouldn't do that. I truly would not do that.
Sure. You sure?
Okay. Jackson is like at Katie Money Grabs. Jackson is likely talking about gaibul, the Korean word for a fish eaten in South Korea that translates to penis fish, according to the Travel Food Atlas, which describes it as the country's genital-shaped foods.
And these things do look like big old cocks.
Because of its pinkish to brown appearance, it made a huge resemblance to the male private part, cock, hence the name penis fish, the site says. A joke was once also thought that gaibul resembles a dog's genitals, so the worm was named
the
after
red
those
lipstick,
Right. Because of the phallic shape, it's been known to be an aphrodisiac. I think the part I like most here is that it seems that Representative Ronnie Jackson truly did think he was eating dog dick and not fish.
Right. Yeah.
That's my main takeaway from this. And he said, but
when in Rome.
But I appreciate the sentiment. You know what? They're serving me up dog dick.
I mean,
if you go
to a different country and they, like, I had horse sashimi when I was in Japan. Yeah. That's not something that I would normally do here in the United States. When you're there.
Right. I was in France. Cuisine. I had sweetbreads.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was
like
till
pig
after.
Guts, right?
Yeah. It's like pig and intestines. Then it was delicious, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think people overthink it and they think about what they're eating and then they refuse to eat it. But if if you just put something in front of somebody and said, eat that, and they're like, ooh, that's really good, and tell them after the fact, they're like, oh, all right, maybe I probably would have avoided that.
Amari is a good example.
Goat yogurt and Marja where there was no refrigeration.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was.
There was a story that they talked about on KFC Radio where a dude put semen into his eggs.
Well, that's how I had a baby.
Let's move on to round number four.
Anyway, yeah, that was just a funny little wacky little thing. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number four.
Speaking of eggs.
Yeah, this one is it's a little bit of an older story, but it's a goodie.
Week. Yeah, it's from last week. I always love – I feel like every couple years a story like this comes out where the Marines are on a Mew or they're traveling somewhere. They dock somewhere. What do you call it? Port?
Yeah.
They port it up.
Yeah, a little porter call.
And they just take that town for whatever it's worth. They just roll in hot and just take it all. Before we get into it, top five eggs.
Okay.
Deviled eggs, number five. But they have to have the paprika sprinkle. If they don't have the sprinkle, it just loses all the zhuzh.
You're right.
When you go to there's a place in San Antonio called Whiskey Cake that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they have all types of different smoked meats and things like that that they'll put into their deviled eggs of the day. And sometimes they'll have like duck confit deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. And it is just unbelievable.
A good deviled egg truly does slap.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the scrambled eggs you get in the field that are just formed out of that powder.
So that's how we had scrambled eggs at school, because you got to feed 4,000 people at once. You can't be cracking eggs. It was just powdered eggs.
I don't mind those either.
I like them.
When you're desperate enough,
as long as they're not like super runny.
No, well, that's the thing. They're never runny. They're almost always very
dry. But you can get them and they're a little bit runny. And
if you get them runny, that's bad. But if you get them dry, you put some ketchup, maybe some hot sauce, you're good to hook.
By the way, me adding this to the list was a joke, and you guys are fucking gross.
No, those are awesome. Those are awesome.
Number three,
sorry, I like the egg amari. Sorry.
Now that
you're
was
wrong.
Too far.
No,
you went
too far. Too far. Everyone send him your MREs that have the egg omelet. Number three, mine unfertilized. Okay. One and done.
How are we feeling about eating placentas?
You know, people save them after the birth and grind them up into powders and like eat them as pills and all kinds of
stuff. But I feel like that's like vitamins. Like where if you buy vitamins from like a GNC and you buy vitamin D, it doesn't really do a whole lot. It doesn't and
People don't know a placenta, buddy. I didn't know until mine came out. It is an organ. It's like a whole-ass organ.
And they're not small.
You have a giant scar inside you the size of like a fucking dinner plate from where it detached and came out. Buddy, there's so much blood.
Interesting.
So much blood.
Placentas? What? So I'm watching this new show on Apple TV called Blackbird.
Yeah.
It's awesome, by the way. So check it out if you're into like serial killer type thrillers. It's very good. But apparently there's a thing, if you have twins, that there is this case where one twin can eat more of the placenta or the nutrients than the other. So they can be identical, but they come out looking differently, whereas one got more of the nutrients and is more grown, and the other one's kind of slow and didn't get as much of the nutrients.
That's what happened with Dwight Schrute. He absorbed his twin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I
didn't know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the eggs you throw on mischief night. I remember high school and my friend's her mom's green Dodge Caravan going around through eggs at my ex's windshield. It was so cathartic.
Mm-hmm. So shout out to one of my coaches who's also a cop in town growing up, and he would always say, because Mischief Night's a big thing in Jersey, and I think it's like nowhere else outside of Jersey and maybe parts of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. And in Hocus Pocus.
Big deal. Shut up.
He always said, like, no eggs, because eggs are hard to clean off someone's house or car. It was always just, like, toilet paper and whatnot. So I never threw eggs.
Oh, buddy. Always respectful. Give it a whirl sometime. You keep going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, hummingbird eggs. They're the size of a coffee bean, and the nest is the size of a thimble. It's the cutest thing you've ever
really
seen.
They really are
They
adorable.
Are really cute. Those
just
are the top
a couple
five
weeks
eggs.
Ago at my house, there was we have a big light on our porch, and occasionally it'll get knocked to the side with the wind. And inside, whenever that happens, a bird's nest will form. And this time it was a tiny little hummingbird with a little green egg.
So cute as a bug.
And Annalise was like, are we going to move it out? I was like, not when it's these tiny little eggs. Mm-hmm. These things got to fucking live.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to a diner. How are you getting your eggs?
I'm a scrambled. Okay. I don't like the wet yolk thing.
Easy? Yeah, I'm more of a scrambled guy, too.
No, I either do steak and eggs because you got to get that yolk going for your steak to dip in. And I love omelets.
Nope.
I'm actually not allowed to eat eggs in my own house, though.
Yeah, I don't blame.
It has nothing to do. She
Alex
doesn't like the smell
you.
Of them.
Yeah,
so I'm not allowed to eat eggs. And then if I order them when we're out together, I get a death stare, and It's not good.
Well, that's not a problem in one Greek town if you went there, because there ain't any eggs left. Mm-hmm. The USS Arlington, a San Antonio-class amphibious dock transport ship, spent the month of May embarked with Marines from the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit, and they were participating in Exercise Alexander the Great 2022 with the Greek.
What a name.
With the Greek military.
You got see, that's a unit shirt that I would buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's
yeah.
a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Alexander Operation Phantom Fury. Cool.
Yeah. Alexander the Great 2022. Hell yeah.
Phantom Fury is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty good. When it was over, the ship docked at the port of Alexandropoli. Whoa. And then more than 1,500 sailors and Marines proceeded to leave their mark. Over the next 3 days, they apparently ate all the eggs, all the meat, and exhausted the arms of every tattoo artist in town.
This kinda legitimately like sounds like an old Viking raid.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. One local restaurateur told local media that the city was going through 6,000 or 7,000 eggs per day.
That's
in other
bonkers.
Words, we don't have eggs. Yeah. No offense to the cooks aboard the USS Arlington, but apparently these Marines really wanted some eggs. I got a panicked call from my employees on the very first day telling me that they'd run out of eggs, even though I had just delivered an additional 300. What, do these Marines go running into town going, we need eggs? Like, what? What? I don't know. The restaurant owner and former president of a local hospitality association said, I serve 16 different types of meat at my restaurant, and they tried them all. Big meat sweats, these Marines and sailors. Other restaurateurs said they have gone crazy.
Why?
I don't know. Messages were apparently starting to flow into local tattoo parlors a week in advance, and Americans were lined up at 9 a.m. waiting to get inked. We have already canceled large tattoos. We told them we would make small ones, and they got one small one each.
We have to figure out why they went so nuts. Like, how long were these folks at sea?
Well, enough to – they went through the island, the area where they landed, Alexandropoli. They all, I guess, talked, and they estimate that they went through 25,000 eggs in 3 days for these Marines.
How many Marines were
But I
it?
Guess, like, eggs go in baked goods, eggs go
That's
in all sorts of other
true,
shit, too.
But
not
still,
just eating
25,000, though.
Yeah, and it's not without precedent. In 2018, Marines participating in a NATO exercise in Iceland drank all the beer in the town of Reykjavik in a
great.
Single weekend. As Iceland magazine recounted at the time, local beer suppliers were called out to help the bar owners cope, but they were fighting an overwhelming force. So, just an interesting little story. I just enjoyed that.
No, that's pretty cool. And I think it's pretty advantageous for these Marines, because I feel like everybody's going to Greece these days. That's that's a hot spot for vacation. Mm. So, for them to get to go there on the government's dime, I think is very nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
I need to understand, though, how much time they get to themselves. Like, when you're in port somewhere, how much time do you get to just do whatever you want?
True.
No, I'm asking.
I mean, not a lot, really. I mean, it depends on what the mission is and how long you're going to be there. There can be – you can get some captains of the ship that won't want you to go far away. But a lot of times you're going to get probably a 48-hour pass.
At least. Because that would be so demoralizing. You're just sitting in port in this gorgeous place and you just have to stare at it.
Yeah, and I think – I mean, doing a Mew is something that I always wanted to do, but I never got to do.
Yeah, same here. I wanted to do a Mew really bad and I didn't get to.
And what's a Mew for those listening?
A Marine Expeditionary Unit.
You get to go on a Navy boat, basically.
Yeah, so you go
on
a ship and you – you can either be like the protection force there, or you can go in and do different operations whenever you get there. But most people that go on Mews have a pretty good time. I mean, obviously you can go on ones that suck as well, but a lot of folks at the time that I would in, they would come to Okinawa and you could see that they were just having like a fucking great time.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure it's great time once you get off the ship.
Yeah.
Being on there every day would be awful.
Sucky,
but I would also love to do they would have like firing ranges on the backs of the ships and do like courses of fire from into the water, which I think would be
That'd really be a lot of fun. Yeah.
They would get to see like the machine guns, like the 20 Mike machine guns that were going off, the Gatling guns and things like that too.
We haven't fired any cool weapons since we started this show, and we're still waiting on that damn ride. And I'm sorry for cursing in a fighter jet.
Okay.
We're getting closer.
I hear
on
that.
We're getting closer, so maybe that will happen. All right, let's move on to Save Rounds and Alibis, which today is going to be presented by our good friends at Cross Country Mortgage. When you're about to face the intimidating process of buying a home, which Cons is doing.
Trying to.
Doing it right now, right?
We're looking around for houses to buy. And thank God I've been churning out these conversations about Cross Country Mortgage because we have some great people to work with.
Yeah, and it's like going through and putting in an offer and it doesn't get accepted could be really, really frustrating. You need to make sure that you have an expert team that is right beside you whenever you're doing all that.
Yep.
And Cross Country Mortgage has a team of loan officers dedicated to get you the best results possible. You can choose close as little in 21 days, which is so, so fast, especially when the home buying process right now can be difficult, and finding a place and getting your offer approved without going crazy over, like you have to do that sometimes, but you will have a way to close in 21 days after you finally get that offer accepted, which is awesome. Cross Country Mortgage is ready to guide you through this home buying process and is making it as painless as possible. They're dedicating to get the mission accomplished. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool so Cross Country Mortgage can take care of you through the home buying process. It's an equal housing opportunity. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029. All loans are subject to underwriting approval and NMLS consumeraccess.org. All right, let's do some save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you. What do you got, Paul?
Yeah, so we are the podcast of integrity, right?
True.
So I have a question for all of you. Have any of you watched the Woodstock Trainwreck?
Yes.
Two episodes. I got one more left.
I'm done with it.
All right, this you probably know.
I mean,
this
I know the story.
Already.
You're not going to spoil anything.
So total anarchy going on in the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. We can all agree there.
Yes.
Especially being older and looking at that now. When they got off the stage, they asked Fred Durst, right? Like, they were asking him questions, and they were actually asking him during the performance, like, maybe you can calm them down.
Right.
Do you agree with what he said, where, like, he's the artist, and he's not responsible for that? Or do you think he should have stepped up in that situation? Anthony Kiedis as well.
Yeah.
And maybe have said something.
I think it's kind of a difficult position to be in, because I do understand what Fred Durst is saying. You don't bring Fred Durst in so he can be like an elder statesman.
Right.
He's not going to go in there and be the rational thought. But when people are, same thing with Travis Scott. Like, if you go, if you are in that position, you can say something to stop it. There was an artist that, I think it was Taylor Swift actually, that after Travis Scott and they had that big thing at Astroworld happen, she stopped the concert and was like, we're not going to do this. Like,
there's
not
several...
what's going, or maybe it was Billie Eilish. It was one of those type
of artists.
Oh,
there's a ton of artists that have scenes where like they see someone getting groped in the crowd, or they see somebody getting crushed or whatever, and they stop the show. They're like, everybody stop the fucking show. But I'll also say this. The crowd was already going crazy.
Yeah.
But they also, the concert organizers, know that Fred Durst's big song at the time was Break Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was the headliner, and that the crowd was going to be going crazy. So it was on the concert goer, it was on the producers of the concert to make sure there was enough security and enough safety and stuff set up. That is not
well,
on Fred
a couple
Durst.
Of things. Number
I don't
one,
think at all.
You'll see in the documentary, the security that they hired, it was basically anybody who was over the age of 18, and they're like, oh, you're a peacekeeper, and that's what it said on their
t-shirt.
Well,
they skimped on it.
They weren't actually
security.
So that's number one. Number two, I don't know to that point if Fred Durst had played to 250,000 people, so I think you have to know.
He has.
Like, at that point, he had?
Maybe not 250, but I went to Family Values in New Orleans in 98, and there was at least 150,000, 200,000 people there. It was huge.
So I don't think he should have sacrificed his art and his music, but I think at some point, if you could see it getting out of hand, like, hey, guys, let's, you know, enjoy ourselves, get nuts, but don't hurt anybody.
That's not Fred Durst.
My thing is, and I agree, it's not Fred Durst, and I think that they should be allowed to perform. They were paid to do that.
Yeah.
But I also think that if he would have said something, people would have just thought it was cool. And they would have, they would have maybe stopped. I think they had. I don't think now, looking back at it, the amount of power that he had over that crowd.
The amount of power he wielded.
Was like,
you know
I thought
mean?
It was really cool. And they said he was like
a maestro,
an orchestra conductor, and he moved this way, and the whole crowd moved this way, and he moved that way, and the whole crowd, and he knew.
Put your fucking hands up.
The editing of that documentary is. I've watched Woodstock '99 on YouTube. Hundreds of times.
Yeah. The actual
the
show,
Kid
like
Rock,
the concert.
The Kid Rock performance, the Limbit, everything.
Woodstock '99.
up until like watching this documentary and the other ones, like I thought like that was the coolest concert I had ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like just because the crowd was so unruly, but you had no idea.
Yeah. You have West Borland. Bam, 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 with his face all painted and shit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And well, anyway,
when they hit it and Fred Durst is up there like bouncing the crowd.
I felt like a
ball.
Little basketball watcher.
If you were there, you'd be like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. And they knew what was going to happen because Korn had went bananas the night before.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually think that Red Hot Chili Peppers did more of a disservice than Fred Durst did.
By coming back out and playing
a fire song?
Yeah.
Really? Like, this place is going
but
up in
also,
flames?
But also, I'll
and
say this.
After they had Jimi Hendrix playing a song about fire, why it was on fire?
If they didn't come back out and do an encore, though, the crowd, I think, would have imploded just as, like, would have just been as miserable. Like, I think the whole thing was entirely on the producers skimping on security and safety. And the people were angry.
On security, how are you
because there was no toilets.
250,000 people.
It's possible. Lots of concerts do it all the time.
Woodstock fucking 69 did it.
That's true. But yeah, I think the people were angry. There was no toilets. The guy, like, there was no toilets. The drinking water they were talking about was so contaminated that people were waking up with their mouths covered sores with trench mouth from like World War One, and so I feel like that was just a huge failure of you got to plan. If they had had a Alabama sorority girl in charge of this thing, it would have been like clockwork.
But you also can't tell that kind of crowd that has dealt with zero water, price gouging of water, no toilets, no food, really. That there's going to be something special at the end of this whole concert, and then it's just a video of Jimi Hendrix playing.
Oh, I would have been furious.
When everybody's thinking, oh, maybe it's Michael Jackson. Oh, maybe it's Prince. And then it's a fucking video montage.
They gave out candles.
Right, and gave out 100,000 candles.
We're missing the main part. There was fires, not because Red Hot Chili Peppers played a song. There was going to be fires anyway because they handed out like 10,000 candles.
No, it was 100,000
candles and lit them, yeah.
And
anyway.
It did look pretty cool whenever they're singing it with the candles. And everybody was like,
super sweet.
Maybe we'll do
it. I don't blame the artist in any way.
Only thing better would have been if Prodigy came out and went, I'm the fire starter. Yeah, twisted fire starter.
That's not the sound.
Yeah, that was it. Nailed it, Kate.
Anyway.
All right. Is that it, Nick?
Yep.
Cool. Kate?
Do you regret asking us that now, Nick? We just went on like a 20-minute
Typically, I just like to wing it. This one, I was watching that with my wife yesterday, and I was like, integrity is all in here. Like, I got to exit squad.
None of the concert creator, like the producers, none of them took accountability for what they did.
I
think is low-key smart, though. In that, and when you're going to get, you know, if you go up there and be like, yikes, fellas. Last night was a little crazy.
Yeah,
you're
but 23
years later. Bad apples.
It's a smart approach to be like, we had a few bad apples.
Listen, 250,000 people, you're going to have a few bad apples.
You
what
really
are we to
are.
Do?
I mean,
what are we to
you,
do?
And when you have 250,000 people that are there to, the type of people that are there here, Korn and Limp Bizkit, things are going to get a little out of hand.
Right, right.
Very similar approach to sexual assault as the military. What are you going to do?
All right, Kate, what do you got for your safety?
I got real for a second there.
You've done that on almost every single round. You're like, well, OnlyFans, but human trafficking.
Probably
that's what
dark
you forget.
Side in there, pal. I got my little blinders on.
Yeah. Anything for safe rounds?
Yes. One, Time Magazine just came out with this incredible article that follows 8 Afghan women who had to leave Afghanistan at the end of the withdrawal, basically, for their own safety, whether they were activists. 2 of them were pilots in the Afghan military, these women, which already, you know, they had to overcome crazy hurdles in that culture alone to become pilots. And now they are waitresses at a Florida strip mall. You know, it's like those stories you see of immigrants who, well, I was a doctor here, and now I drive a Lyft here because of, like, there's just so much potential for greatness there. And I hope that they achieve all their dreams, but it was really, it's Time Magazine. Check it out. They're the cover story, and it just follows 8 women, kind of a photo essay of where they are now across the world. So, like, follows one of the women who's in Rome now, another in Ireland, another, and 2, I was thinking about this with Zach the other week. We look at, well, they were so lucky to get out. They were so lucky to get out. But every single one of the women and, like, all the accounts of the Afghans that I've been reading who did get out, like, yeah, in one way that is lucky, but imagine having to say goodbye to your mom or your brother or your sister or somebody for the last time and know you're probably never going to see them again, even though you've all got a lot of ahead of you. It's like, I can't even comprehend it. It's like, but that's the reality for so many people, and it's just crazy. But it's just really incredibly impressive women, and just a really good read in Time Magazine. I was reading it on the way in this morning, and just think, if you have time, go peruse it. Also, On a way more serious note, we've got back to school merch in the Barstool Sports Store. Yeah. Hey, I should have done that one first.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got these really good, like, what is this material? It's like good workout shirts.
It's almost like the old Under Armour cold weather gear, hot weather gear material.
Yeah, they go with your uniforms. They're compliant.
Not, jokes aside, they are compliant with your uniforms.
Yeah, we made sure.
You can absolutely wear them under.
We went and got from the same distributor. And we all, one of the big things that we've seen so far, your coasties that have the blue shirts, we're going to get those too.
Yes.
So it'll be blue with the tan dog on that. We'll
we also,
get those up too.
Other new styles of Zero Block 30 shirts. We have the ZBT hats.
We still got the PB Abate, which I think is one of the coolest shirts we've put out in a
show
long time.
Showing the back, Kanzi. Mm-hmm. Slipping around,
there
showing on the back.
Yep.
The PB Abate logo.
Great.
And all the net proceeds from that go to PB Abate, mm-hmm. which helps vets reinvigorate themselves and reconnect with each other and all sorts of amazing stuff. Founded by Major Tom Schumann, who was on last week. So really good stuff in the Barstool store right now. How can I make that depressing? But who knows the dark side of the Barstool store? It could be a lot of weird shit going
on. Okay, let's just move over to cons. What do we got, cons?
Yeah, I made a video earlier this week about President Biden getting off of the chopper and battling his
getting off. This another
horny
episode.
Anyway, I called it.
Let's see that cock, Joe.
I called it Marine Force One when we all know it's obviously just Marine One.
Yeah.
Screwed that up. That's on me. Hand up.
Yeah.
President Trump was in a deposition and he took the fifth apparently 400 and some odd times. You think he has to say it every time? Like, I take the fifth? Or I wish he could just like maybe like you hold up a paddle like up.
Fifth, I think you just go, after the first time it's you just go fifth.
Yeah. Fifth. Okay. Okay. And then lastly, we, you know, we were talking about college and preparing for the real world, whatever. Did you guys subscribe to the belief that the kids who were able to drink in high school were the best equipped to handle college when they were given all that freedom?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say that there's probably a balance. I think having parents that just gave you a green light and like let you have parties and shit, probably not the best idea.
No.
But kids who had an understanding, like with my kids, for example, if Kelsey was in college and she was like, I want to experiment with weed, I'd be like, well, why don't you come home and we'll do it together?
Yeah.
Like, and we have that conversation so she would know safely. Mm-hmm. But I think just letting your kids rip through fucking whiskey probably is not the best idea.
No, probably not. Yeah. Probably not. But the reason I bring this up, so for the last few years at West Point, there was a 4-drink minimum or a maximum rule at West Point.
The 4-drink minimum.
Don't even come here if you're not ready to get fucking shit half, you bitch.
All the cadets, the cadets who were of age.
I don't want to drink, Staff Sergeant.
Well, there's a minimum.
They had to carry around cards, and they had, you know, like got marked off by the bartenders at the officers club or the first C club or whatever. So they've lifted that, and I think that's kind of a good idea because you don't want to be the lieutenant that gets out to your unit and you're at a function with your unit and ends up getting all
sloppy.
Nobody's
checking my car.
Because you don't know how to drink.
Well, I can have as many drinks as I want. Yeah.
So I just think that was a good move by them.
And also,
I think they should release a lot of those types of restrictions.
If you're going to be leaders, too, if you think West Point is about creating leaders, like give them a little
freedom.
Freedom.
Yes,
and let them fuck up on their own if they're not the material and
So I'm not encouraging like binge drinking. I just think that was a good thing so they can, to your point, learn how to drink responsibly in a social setting.
And if they are going to do that, I would prefer that they do it with Whistle Pig, maybe a canned cocktail that has like a Sestrus Mint or something like that.
Absolutely.
Anything else, cons?
That's all I got.
Cool.
Great to see you in person.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Had a good week hanging out with all the squad. It was good. We're excited about the content that we have coming down the pike for you guys. We'll be back here again next week. It's On the Retreat.